This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Welcome to Just for Women, Dating, Relationships, and Sex. I'm your host, Elisa Kreitman. This show is dedicated to empowering today's women with the most useful information available in the areas of dating, sex, relationships, finance, and health, so we can live the lives we're meant to live. Clear Center of Health, we have a reputation for treating perimenopausal and menopausal women. And perimenopause is that 10-year period around the time that somebody is about to go into their 40s and 50s and stop their menstruation. Getting to your question of depression, what are some other ways to approach it? St. John's wort, for example, is fantastic. They've done studies on it in the Lancet Journal from England, and it helps with mild to moderate depression. It does not have the side effects that antidepressants do with a loss of libido and weight issues. St. John's wort will end up resulting in a person having higher serotonin levels and better ability to focus, sleep, feel good. And in addition, St. John's wort also helps kill viruses. Today on the show, I'm very happy to welcome Jacqueline Chan, osteopathic doctor and women's health specialist, not kung fu master, as you will soon see. And she's going to talk to us about what we need to know about alternative health, the kinds of health issues that are facing women today, and what we can do to heal ourselves. On the show today, we'll discuss integrative medicine, what it is, and why should we pay attention to this alternative approach in healthcare. We're going to discuss osteopathic medicine versus regular medicine, and health issues facing women today, specifically related to hormonal imbalances and depression, and what we can do about them. So, Jacqueline Chan, thank you so much for being on Just for Women today.
Thank you so much. It's a great pleasure.
I think it's really funny. I love your name, and I'm sure you've been through a lot in your life having a name like Jacqueline Chan, and I'm sure a nickname, Jackie Chan.
Yes. High kicks are one of my specialties.
Oh, I'm glad you have a good time with this. So, for those of you who don't yet know Dr. Chan, she has 10 years' experience as an integrative medical doctor. She's a member of the prestigious Integrative Medical Group, Clear Center of Health in Marin County, California. She's a board-certified family practice, holistic medicine, and neuromuscular and skeletal medicine. She's a member of the American College for Advancement of Medicine. And a whole lot more that I'm not going to get into, but, you know, Jacqueline Chan, you are very much a women's source for what is going on in healthcare today, and I'm very excited to talk to you about that. So let's just jump right in and talk about integrative medicine. It sounds like that's very alternative. I'm very alternative. I like to do things that are off the beaten path. I'm not very much into prescription medicines. And so tell us a little bit about how integrative medicine is different from traditional medicine.
I'd love to, Lisa. Integrative medicine is different from traditional medicine in that we really view the patient as a body, mind, spirit continuum. And we have at our fingertips ways to treat people that are above and beyond surgery or pharmaceuticals, which is what most standard medicine physicians have available to them and have been trained and educated in. And so for example, if somebody were to come to me for, let's say, a sinus infection, which is a very simple, you know, primary care type issue, a standard physician would probably just go ahead and prescribe them an antibiotic that they'd have to take for 3 weeks. That antibiotic could imbalance their gut. Also, there have been studies showing that the more antibiotics women have taken through their lifetime, the increased risk of breast cancer. And the antibiotic has to be broken down by the liver, and therefore it burdens the liver and its ability to detoxify from other regular toxins that it's around. Now, if I had a patient come in with a sinus infection, I would treat them with an herb. If they had, as an osteopathic physician, there are certain areas in the head itself, like the base of the skull and the forehead, where I can put my fingers on those areas and relieve the pressure and actually help the drainage of the mucus from the sinus cavities, which are these holes within the skull bones. And so I can actually help physiologically the drainage of that through shifting the tension and the placement of the bony structure. And then there's an emotional component to sinus infection, which is often related to suppressed anger or rage, which is something that Dr. Rob Ivker talks a lot about. And so that's another thing that we could address, is there an emotional component to that? And then there can be, sometimes sinus infections are triggered by allergies, environmental allergies, and there's some simple dietary things that we could shift, like, you know, cutting them off of dairy, because dairy, milk, and cheese causes more mucus production, and sugar tends to make the white blood cells very sluggish so that they can't kill bacteria as easily. So these are all things that an integrative physician would address, that a standard physician in general probably wouldn't address and certainly wouldn't have the time for it.
Wow, so it sounds like you're treating the core of what could be going on with this person in five different ways, you mentioned, versus the one antibiotic that's really going to tax the liver.
Yeah, that's correct. My question is always, whoever walks in the room, my question that I'm holding in the back of my mind is, what's really going on? That's always the question I'm really asking. What's really going on? And then another aspect is that integrative physicians tend to do a lot of lab testing that is different from what standard physicians are trained in or have available to them. So we use a lot of labs that a standard physician wouldn't even really know of or do, such as checking for leaky gut syndrome, which often can cause food allergies, which then can cause mucus buildup and congestion, and that's a urine test that we check. We can check for heavy metals. We can check for parasites, fungus. We can check for the liver's ability to detoxify. So we have a whole slurry of different testing. And then what's really wonderful about an integrative physician is they are still a physician, you know, so they still have the background training of a regular physician. So they still, you know, a physician has their responsibility of being able to detect and catch the worst-case scenario, you know. Let's make sure the sinus infection isn't a tumor growing.
And right.
You know, I mean, that's always one of the responsibilities of a physician is to be able to detect, make sure it's not the worst-case scenario, and then what it is most probable. Yeah, every integrative physician has that background training, so they're capable of doing that as well.
How popular would you say are integrative doctors today? Are people waking up and coming more to you than to traditional medical doctors?
Well, integrative medicine or holistic medicine, alternative medicine, they all mean the same thing. It's very popular. There was a study, I think it was in the New York Times, that said that one-third of Americans were using alternative medicine. It's very popular. What I tend to find is that the people who come through my door are very responsible people. They're educated. and they are proactive.
Mm-hmm.
And there is also a financial component to it in that because of the limitations that insurance companies put on physicians in terms of the amount of time that they can spend with patients, and I just don't feel that you can really do a good job with a 10-minute visit. Our visits are all half an hour or longer, and so because of that, we tend to have the patient bill the insurance. So they pay up front, and then they bill the insurance, which means that they can't walk in and just pay their $20 copay. And so there is a slight financial issue, too. So, for example, the patient who's on Medicare or Medi-Cal would not usually be the type of person that I would see here, although I'm always open to making adjustments as needed because it's more important to me that the patient get the care that they need.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, people come who are very well educated and very proactive, and they really are ready and willing to make lifestyle changes as needed, and they're very grateful for the care they get.
Mm-hmm. Well,
the other person is the person who's very ill and very frustrated with the standard medical. And has not gotten many, hasn't gotten much help with standard medicine.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. One thing I'm always curious about as I read my, conscious little magazines and things like that, the amazing impact that prescription medicine has on our bodies. And you mentioned that with an antibiotic, it burdens the liver. I want people to know, and I want to understand, what is going on with prescription medicine? Because from the little that I know, it sounds as though there's one active ingredient in it. It goes in and it'll directly affect one piece of what's going on. But it doesn't, like you said, it doesn't solve the whole thing, the emotional issues that might be going on, that if they were solved, they would go away. So what are some of the negative effects of prescription drugs on our physical bodies?
What's really happened with the art of medicine is that we've come from a place where, in the days of in the Greek days, you'd go on a long journey if you had a disease, and part of the journey would be part of your treatment, and then you'd arrive and there would be plays that they would show every evening to highlight the psychological component, and there would be jokesters in the hallway, and someone would come in and look at your body in terms of qualities of air and dampness, and so that was kind of the history. And then we went through the Cartesian era of I think, therefore I am, and objectivity, and we had Louis Pasteur, who isolated bacteria and was able to show that bacteria were the cause of certain illnesses. And then we had Koch, who was able to come up with Koch's postulates, which is if you isolate an organism and then you that is the cause of the disease, and then you give it to the animal, and it creates a disease, and then you re-isolate it and do that twice. You've proven that that organism causes a disease, such as smallpox and the influenza virus, and et cetera. So medicine got completely away from the emotional component and really started focusing on, wow, this is great. We have an organism that is the cause of disease. And we kind of forgot about the other part. And then there was the whole pharmaceutical industry that had come in, and with that there became standardization for the masses. And so now we're living in an era with healthcare reform and health insurance companies where the buzzword is really standardized care and double-blind placebo-controlled trials. And unfortunately, the companies that can afford double-blind placebo-controlled trials, which really cost millions of dollars to conduct and do when you're talking about a number of 10,000 to 15,000 people, in a study that lasts 5 or 10 years long, the only people who can afford that are pharmaceutical companies. A little herbal shop down the road can't afford that on their herbs or vitamins and things of that nature. So then the argument against natural things has been, well, there's no controlled studies on it. And there are, to speak in defense of medicines, there are some incredible medicines that we've come up with, which are very specific. But every medicine is foreign to the body. It has to be in order to be patented. And so every medicine is going to be in some way actually a toxin and a poison, even though there are some very specific ones that do wonderful things. It still is something foreign to the body. And that has to be broken down by the liver. And there are many things that our liver has to completely, you know, has to break down on a continual basis, even the chemicals that are in French fries and the chemicals that are in foods and the air that we're breathing and the water that we're drinking. And so a medicine is going to add to that. And to me, the more dangerous medicines are the ones that people are taking on a daily basis for years. Some women are on medicines for acne, you know, and they're taking a daily antibiotic for acne. Some of them are on for example, the birth control pill, or there's a lot of people on antidepressants or anti-anxiety medications for years and years.
So you're saying that to counteract some of the things that are going on with women, like acne, not wanting to get pregnant, anti-depression, we're actually filling our body with large amounts of toxins and chemicals over time every day. How do we not do that? What are some alternative approaches to, let's just take depression, because that's like one of the number one afflictions that women deal with.
Okay, and I want to preface this as well with sometimes I do feel that medication is the best approach, and certain, so I just, you know, I'm not completely against medication, but I would prefer to do something as natural as possible. So getting to your question of depression, what are some other ways to approach it? St. John's wort, for example, is fantastic. They've done studies on it in the Lancet Journal from England, and it helps with mild to moderate depression. It does not have the side effects that antidepressants do with a loss of libido and weight issues. St. John's wort will end up resulting in a person having higher serotonin levels and better ability to focus, sleep, feel good. And in addition, St. John's wort also helps kill viruses. It also helps with peripheral neuropathy. You know, it's not a burdensome to the liver. The problem with herbs is that the quality of herbs varies. And there's actually been studies where they've taken 22 brands of herbs off the shelf and found that only 5 of them had the active ingredients.
Really?
Yes.
Yes. Man, it seems so difficult to heal ourselves.
I know. In fact, it actually started with 60 Minutes interviewed Andrew Weil, and he recommended a certain brand of ginseng, and they pulled it off the shelf, and it didn't even have the active ingredients. And this was Andrew Weil, if people aren't aware, he's from Harvard Medical School, and he was really one of the forerunners in getting natural medicine popular. He's extremely famous in the world of natural medicine, and you know, even the one he recommended was not of good quality. So the herbs that we use at Clear Center of Health here in Mill Valley are from Australia, from a company called MediHerb, and only physicians, chiropractors, or naturopaths can actually stock these herbs. And they are pharmaceutical grade, and I've been there to their quality lab in Queensland, Australia, and they do a fingerprint, molecular fingerprint of every herb that comes through the door. They check and make sure it goes through the intestinal lining, that it goes unchanged with the bile and with the liver enzymes, and they're fantastic. So you want to make sure that the quality of your herbs, that's what's nice about going to an integrative physician, is if you can actually get the herbs from them, from a reputable source, rather than over-the-counter. And of the ones that are over-the-counter, Nature Sunshine is most reliable, I would say.
Okay, so Nature Sunshine, if we go to Whole Foods and we want to start taking herbs, maybe we read an article or something, there's not a total loss. We actually could start. See, that's the thing and why I wanted to talk to you today, because I think there is so much confusion about how to know how to take care of ourselves, especially the people who want to be proactive, like myself, you know? And I was thinking of going to a doctor where I'm going to get tested for all these food allergies. And you mentioned early on something about leaky gut syndrome and food allergies. Let's talk about that for a second, because I'm sure there's lots of people who are like, oh, I'm lactose intolerant, or they have nasal congestion and they don't really know why. They get pains after they eat something and they can't really figure it out. What do you suggest for people who think they have food allergies?
The actual best test for food allergies is a test that you do on yourself. It's the most accurate, and that's the allergy elimination diet. And that's where for 2 weeks you would eliminate all foods that you eat, that you usually eat on a daily basis, and all foods that that would possibly cause allergies. And the three least allergenic foods are rice, lamb, and pears. And so you could start with, this is pretty drastic, but you could start with eating
those. Especially if you don't eat meat.
it's very drastic. So you could start with eating those foods for several days. I'd say at least 3 days, and then one day at a time you start re-adding the foods that you normally eat, and you look for reactions such as joint pain, brain fog, fatigue. But that is actually, the allergy elimination diet is the best test altogether. Food allergies in general are a symptom of something else going on, and usually that something else can be a leaky gut, and we have a test here for leaky gut. It's a simple $70 urine test, and where you drink a concoction of lactose and mannitol, and then it's measured as to how it comes out in your urine. And then you really have to treat the leaky gut. So what leaky gut is that the spaces in between the cells have enlarged, and the little blood vessels are larger, and you're absorbing foods, protein molecules from the foods that normally would not be absorbed, and then your body has a reaction to that, and you produce a chemical called histamine, and you produce more mucus and symptoms of allergies. Then there's a simpler version of the allergy elimination diet, which is just to eliminate the top most common allergy-causing foods, and those are milk and cheese.
Wheat,
exactly. Actually, corn, citrus, so oranges, lemons, shellfish, peanuts, you know, those onions, those are the most common. And then reinstitute those one at a time. There is also a blood test for food allergies. And unfortunately, you know, it's not just our wheat, and nowadays has about 80% more gluten than wheat used to. So it's not even that the wheat itself is that bad. It's just that our wheat products now have been tainted and changed, and so they may cause allergies now, whereas if they were stone ground natural wheat that had not been manipulated by the agriculture department, you wouldn't have a reaction to it. I know many people who say they have allergies to dairy here, and they go to Europe and they eat French cheeses and they drink the milk there, and they don't have the same reaction. So some of it is that we have growth hormone and we have antibiotics in our dairy here in the United States.
And we're having reactions to the additives that are being added to what is so-called food. Jacqueline Chan, you are good. We're going to take a break. I could talk to you for 3 days. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Let us take a break. We'll come back. I want to talk to you a little bit more about women's health issues in particular.
This is great. Lisa Kreitman, your host of Just for Women, Dating, Relationships, and Sex. I'm speaking with Dr. Jacqueline Chan, osteopath, women's health specialist, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Renee Stevens, host of Inside Out Weight Loss. If you want to be a thin person, you have to learn how to think like one. Learn how on my weekly show that aligns mind, body, and spirit for lasting change. Find me on iTunes or at personallifemedia.com. That's Inside Out Weight Loss, how to think like a thin person on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back. I'm Elisa Kreitman, your host of Just for Women, Dating, Relationships, and Sex. We're speaking today with Dr. Jacqueline Chan about how integrative medicine is very different from traditional medicine and how it can support us in having a supremely healthy life. So, Dr. Chan, let's see. It's so funny calling you Dr. Chan because I know you and you're blonde and you're blue-eyed and you're beautiful and it's just really funny. It's just really funny to say Dr. Chan. Are you married to a Asian person?
No, I'm not. No, this is my maiden name. My grandfather was from Hong Kong and I'm 1/4 Chinese and I went to Singapore about 4 or 5 years ago to meet my grandfather's brother, who was, I thought, the last surviving person in that side of my family. And I walked in the room, the hotel room where we were staying, and there was this pile of gifts, and I found out I have like 22 relatives over there.
Amazing.
A room full of Asian people and myself. So, yeah, it's one of those tricks of genetics.
Yeah, really wild. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about women's health issues in particular. We talked about depression a little bit, St. John's wort, things that we could do alternatively than take very destructive prescription medications. And as you said, sometimes, you know, that is the way to go. But really, you're here to support us and help us in looking at a holistic approach, which is what integrative medicine is, mind, body, spirit. And really look at the deep core of what might be going on with our being and treat that, treat all of the symptoms. So again, let's talk about what women come to you specifically for and how you treat those in an alternative way.
Here at Clear Center of Health, we have a reputation for treating perimenopausal and menopausal women. And perimenopause is that 10-year period around the time that somebody is about to go into their 40s and 50s and stop their menstruation.
So it's as early as what, 38?
Actually, as early as 35.
35. Wow.
At the age of 35 to 40, in the modern, just in the past 20 years, the age of menopause has dropped.
Why?
It's gone down and gone down and gone down. I'll explain why that is. And so by that age, the hormones, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, DHEA, can start declining. And they start declining. And then in women, they decline very rapidly, which is why women can have mood swings and hot flashes and inability to focus and anxiety and feel like they're losing their mind, you know, loss of memory. And so that's the ovaries no longer producing as much hormone. And normally and naturally, the adrenal glands, which are these small triangular-shaped glands that sit on top of our kidneys and your back, normally those glands start producing 80% of the estrogen and progesterone and testosterone in a woman's body. And the woman doesn't have really bad symptoms. She just kind of sails through, you know, the 40s and 50s with no problems. In fact, in Japan, they don't even have a word for hot flashes. They don't have a word for menopause. It doesn't really, it's not, because women there don't tend to suffer the way women do here.
All right, we really need to know why.
So what's happening in our society is that the adrenal glands also have to make something called cortisol. And cortisol is what gets you up and gets you going and keeps you alive. Cortisol is what you need to get up in the morning. It's what you need to basically function. And if there are certain things that cause you to produce, that demand more cortisol being produced, and that's basically stress. So if people are having a stressful lifestyle, working, you know, full-time, coming home, taking care of the kids, taking care of the husband, running around, maybe working more than full-time, not getting enough sleep, not getting the nutrition they need, only having 1 or 2 weeks of vacation a year, all those things that, especially in America, we tend to have, then they just don't have the reserves to make estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone anymore. So a lot of it is actually lifestyle. And things that are good for your adrenal glands are 8 hours of sleep a night, you know, vacation, real vacation. I don't mean Walt Disney World where you're running all over the place. I mean, like, real vacation. Your feet are up, you're resting, you're about, you know, two to three weeks a year. And eating protein, actually protein, which does not necessarily mean meat. You know, if you're vegetarian, there are ways of getting protein in, but 20 grams of protein 3 times a day. Eating, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner, exercise, healthy, happy, joyous relationships, work that's fulfilling, all those things. Having a balanced lifestyle, all those things are good for the adrenal glands. So part of it is lifestyle. And another part of it is that we have a lot of chemicals in our environment now that block our hormone functioning. So there are, for example, heavy metals. There's cadmium and exhaust fume. There is mercury in our fish. In fact, if you're pregnant, you're not supposed to have more than one serving of tuna a month because of the amount of mercury in that could affect the fetus.
Wow.
And heavy metals will interfere with the communication of hormones to the receptor sites of hormones. So it could be that you have a pretty relaxed lifestyle or you have a balanced life, but you're still having hormonal issues, and some of that is because of the chemicals in the environment. We also have estrogen, and we have hormone mimickers such as plastics. You know, everybody walks around drinking plastic out of water out of a plastic bottle now. You know, that actually, that the plastic that comes off of the plastic bottle into the water can affect how our hormones are functioning.
This is unbelievable. I mean, I've heard here and there things of this nature, and now, you know, SIG water bottles have their metal, there's metal water bottles everywhere because everyone's saying, oh, there's chemicals in the plastic. But I never understood why. So what you're saying is the chemicals that come off the plastic into the water and then into our body interfere with our hormones functioning properly.
Correct. And there are, for example, 150 common household chemicals that have been linked to physiological abnormalities, like your household cleaning, Ajax, Comet cleaner, Ivory dishwashing soap, Dove soap has mercury in it. I mean, it goes on. It's really about trying to think, you know, back to the days where we didn't have those chemicals around, and trying to be as natural as possible, trying to choose whole foods when you go grocery shopping and not foods that have a shelf life of 2 years, or, you know, things that flavor enhancers like Hamburger Helper and things that are boxed and canned, but trying to, you know, choose either whole vegetables or frozen vegetables that don't have any sauces or chemicals in them. Trying to use cleaners that are as natural as possible. Now you can go into a grocery store and get seventh generation and You can get Echo. I mean, there are definitely like holistic cleaners on the market now. Watching, you know, getting a stainless steel or very hard plastic bottle, the type of plastic that you can't squeeze or mold, that's much safer.
Wow. It just goes on and on, doesn't it? And it's funny because you said, think back to the day when people did things more naturally. I have no idea when that was, you know, way beyond my lifetime and generation, because I grew up with all the sugar, wheat, you know, chemicals. It's amazing that a lot of us are even here.
Yes, and actually, I'm not surprised at all that we're not winning the war against cancer. They used to say, I just heard a shocking statistic yesterday, but they used to say that 1 in every 10 Americans would get cancer, and now they're saying 1 in every 2 will get cancer.
Oh my goodness.
Of some kind. And that is very shocking. I'd really have to look into the validity of that quote, but I do know that cancer rates have not been going down. Brain cancer rates in children have gone up 290%. Since 1970. And when you're looking at brain cancer in children, that's not due to smoking or alcohol. You know, we used to have this saying, well, you know, stop smoking and you won't get cancer. And now we've really beat the war against smoking. You know, tobacco smoking rates have gone way down, but cancer rates haven't.
What does that point to, brain cancer in children? Is that a chemical thing? Is that because women are not aware of what they're eating or ingesting or have around them as the fetus is developing?
This is simply conjecture because I haven't actually looked into the causes of brain cancer, as I'm not a pediatrician. But as a holistic physician, I could say that there are much lower rates of omega-3 fatty acids, which are very important for a fetus when it's developing in the first trimester in a woman. Omega-3 fatty acids are essential, meaning that we don't make them in our body. We have to get them from our diet. And when our beef used to eat grass, now we have what's called grain-fed beef. And 80% of the cows that are dairy cows never even see pasture in their lives. They're kept in barns and stalls with lights that go on and off, and they're kept in cages, and they're fed grain. And what happens is the omega-3 fatty acids that are normally in grass and, you know, nature, that our animals are not being fed and are not eating, that means that the meat and the cheese and the dairy, and this has been, you know, proven scientifically, is much lower in those fatty acids. And so if you have a woman who's surviving on peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and brownies and cakes and whatnot when she's pregnant, her fetus doesn't have, you know, the omega-3 fatty acids to really help the brain and the nervous system develop and be protected. And so that's one thing that may be partially the cause of increased brain cancer rates.
Mm.
And that is somewhat conjecture. And then another thing that we do here that I did want to mention, when you initially asked what kind of patients walk in the door, and I talked about perimenopause, and I talked about looking at the toxic exposure of a person, being able to measure that, being able to help them with detoxifying and educating them on things in which they could have a cleaner lifestyle. But also we use what are called bioidentical hormones, which are hormones that are identical to the hormones in your body versus synthetic hormones, which are not identical. And we use those in a ratio that's similar to what is in a woman's body naturally. And so we use very, very small amounts of those physiological doses to help a woman with some of the symptoms that she may be going through. And we also use other things like herbs such as black cohosh, which is fantastic for hot flashes and things of that nature to offer. Because one of the big scandals against hormone replacement therapy was the Women's Health Initiative, which was published in 2002 on 16,000 women, where they showed an increased risk of breast cancer for women who were on hormone replacement therapy, increased by about 30%, and they stopped the trial. And so then women were told, we can't give you hormone replacement therapy anymore. And they were having hot flashes, and they were worried about osteoporosis. And when you actually look at the literature, it was the progesterone component of the hormones that they were taking that really increased the risk of breast cancer. And
say that again.
It was the progesterone component of the hormones that really increased the risk of breast cancer.
So they kind of isolated what the problem was, and the progesterone was too high.
It was the wrong type. It was the synthetic type of progesterone, and it was increasing the risk of cancer. It was offsetting the benefits that a woman could get from estrogen.
Unbelievable. See, isn't this unbelievable? And you know what I really understand, I'm starting to really see about this, is we don't really know. I mean, it is a constant evolution of what really works. And what I'm getting from what you're bringing to us today is that the safest thing to do is to really look at alternative, healthy approaches, because it sounds like the chemicals that we're getting, they're not going to help us. They're only going to tax us. And it's really time to wake up and start looking at what are some other ways I can really look at what's going on in my life, how to get the nutrients I need, how to get the hormones in balance in a way that's not going to whack out some other part of my body. Yeah?
I agree. And I know that earlier you had asked, you know, how do we educate ourselves? My recommendation, I mean, realize that you're only going to get the amount of help from the physician you go to based on how much that physician knows and what their scope of knowing includes. So a physician is going to give you the best information that they have based on who they've been learning from. Some people put all the power in what the physician says, and they think the physician is God and the physician knows best. But there's this whole other piece of the pie that a lot of physicians are not learning and not becoming educated on. And that's what an integrative physician is going to know more about. And also naturopaths are trained in this area as well. And some chiropractors even know a lot about nutrition and about toxins in the environment. And so I would get, you could think of it as your holistic health consultant. You know, I would get somebody on your side to guide you, because there are things that you have to be careful about, like if you're on a medication and if that interacts with a certain herb, and like I said before, the quality of the herbs or vitamins that you're getting, such that you can be a little dangerous if you try to just do it all on your own.
Yeah.
And certainly there's a lot of products on the internet that are not of good quality, that they have these incredible claims about and say it's a cure-all, and you have to be careful about what's on the internet. And so my first recommendation would be to find somebody in your area that you can work with. And the second would be to get onto a newsletter. There's some great newsletters out there. Life Extension has a wonderful magazine, and they actually, I think they have very good products, and they sell their products through their magazine as well, but they have lots of research that they review. The Green Guide, which is only $15 for a year, a subscription. You can either get it as an email or you can get it as a letter, you know, paper letter. It's thegreenguide.com. Fantastic resource on, you know, what are, for example, school notebooks that you could get for your children that don't outgas PVC plastic, you know. So it's got all kinds of links and not a lot of commercial information, but just a lot of really good nuts and bolts and meat into it. Dr. Susan Lark, L-A-R-K, she's a fantastic physician from Stanford Medical School in the Bay Area, and she's got a wonderful newsletter as well. And Dr. Julian Whitaker, he also has a wonderful newsletter. So those are some things that I recommend people
check out. Wow, we have to wrap up, but I almost feel a little stunned talking with you today about all of the things that go on in our bodies and in our society today. And I'm so excited. It's actually inspiring to talk to you today and know that doctors like you exist, that there is deep knowledge and wisdom in taking a more holistic approach to life, because, you know, that's kind of the in thing to do right now. Everybody's going green and, you know, but I like talking to people about why that's important and why it's not just a fad, but it's really an important, critical piece in our education about who we are as people and how to be healthy.
It's extremely important. This whole green thing is not a fad. Another little tidbit of information, compressed wood, you know, which is what we make backyard decks out of and children's swings and telephone poles, that's laden with arsenic, and the arsenic sits in the soil from compressed wood for up to 15 years, and all it takes is a hand swipe of 1 5-year-old's handprint on that wood, and they've just absorbed way more arsenic than they would if it was in the water, drinking water. You know, and arsenic is a known carcinogen. That goes back to that whole, you know, brain cancer rates in children going up, and why is that being caused? And how many of you know of friends who have a cat or a dog who has cancer? You know, animals never used to get cancer. They're getting cancer now because these small beings, our cats, our dogs, our little children, we magnify, you know, a small amount of toxin to them is 10 times more, 100 times more, because they've got smaller bodies.
So you're saying they're getting it in the food, they're getting it in the soil.
Building materials, yeah.
Okay, tell us, thank you so much for giving us the greenguide.com and Dr. Susan Lark. Definitely, ladies, gentlemen, check these resources out. And Dr. Chan, how can we find you?
You can find us on the internet. Our website is www.clearcenterofhealth.com. Our phone number is 415-388-5520. I will do telephone consultations. We're located in Mill Valley, right across from the Throckmorton Theater, which is where Robin Williams was discovered. It's a wonderful, wonderful little place. And we even have a beautiful little inn down the street if people actually want to make a vacation out of it. So that's how you reach me, and it's been a great pleasure for me to be able to speak on your show.
Yes, thank you so much. Women of the world everywhere, you know, it's time for us to wake up, and I'm so glad that there's alternative doctors such as yourself so willing to share this information with the world. It's so, so important. It feels like this is just the tip of the iceberg.
I completely agree. I could talk about, there's so much I haven't even said. Yeah, I agree. It is the tip of the iceberg. And I do, actually, we do give free lectures here as well. We've got one. October 22nd is the next one on breast cancer prevention and detoxification.
Awesome. Well, maybe, you know, we'll just have you back. We'll pick a couple of topics that we want to delve deeper into, and we'll definitely have you back. So, listeners, you know, if you do want that, send me an email at Alisa, A-L-I-S-S-A, Alisa, at personallifemedia.com. And again, give me your comments, your questions. Let me know what you want to hear, and we'll get that on the show. Also, for text and transcripts of this show and other shows on the Personal Life Media Network, just visit us at personallifemedia.com. And don't forget, you can get a copy of my book, Alisa's Four Cornerstones to Living Your Dreams, on my website here at Just for Women, as well as sacredspot.org. Just click on the book icon. So, Jacqueline Chan, Jackie Chan, thank you so, so much for all your wisdom today and really helping us understand and wake up how we can deal with perimenopause, menopause, leaky gut, food allergies, all of these things that are going on in our lives and in our environment today.
Thank you so much.
I'm your host, Alisa Kreitman, always expanding your choices here on Just for Women, Dating, Relationships, and Sex. Tune in next week for more juicy news you can use.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.